deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to Flashpoint episode 65, recorded Sunday, September 29th. Today in Star Wars history, the fifth season of Star Wars The Clone Wars debuted on the Cartoon Network. Just for a bit of history, I'm your host David Holloway, and with me are two co-hosts who are wanted in nine systems for trying to sell BlackBerry Q10s to Jawas, which they deserve because there's some crap even they won't touch. Christy, how are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm halfway through a long weekend, so I can't complain.
Excellent. And Simon, look, if there are people already sitting out there going, hold on, that introduction sounded a hell of a lot more polished and better than it ever has. It's because of this man. Simon, how are you?
I'm at the end of a regular weekend and I'm not happy. But
yeah.
but other than that, no, good. Been rattling around the Old Republic. And ended up doing two things which I said I'd never do after pouring abundant scorn on them. Namely, said I wouldn't buy the Cathar, bought the Cathar. Said I wouldn't touch Treak, bought Treak. So, yeah.
And you did. And did you touch Treak in an inappropriate way or just bought him?
In all honesty, I wouldn't dare. I'm pretty sure that if I could actually send her out on class quests, she'd be quite comfortable doing that on her own. In fact, she'd probably prefer it because I'm only holding her back.
Yeah, but that's, you're a bit like me. That's just your playing ability.
Yeah, I suck.
Yes, don't we both? So this episode, and I mentioned the reason it sounds polished is because Simon did a bit of a, well, more than a bit of a great running sheet. So I'd like to thank you very much, Simon, for actually bringing an ounce of professionalism into this podcast.
Well, no, you can thank Tio for that because he's the one that pointed me at using Google Hangouts for a group document like this. So thanks, mate.
Yes, thank you. And we must have him back on again soon. So, yeah, this episode we're going to cover a bunch of Star Wars The Old Republic as usual, but we'll also cover The Secret World, and there's some new content there, and Game Name and Precise Topic. Oh, no, that's sure. I'm not meant to read that, am I? I did that on purpose.
Sure.
So we'll cover Star Wars The Old Republic, Secret World, and lots of other stuff as usual. And most excitingly, having had a just small preview of it, we're going to trial a new segment called My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon. That's spelled L-O-R-E and C-A-N-O-N. Trust me, it's funnier on paper. But if you've had any suggestions, let us know. It's going to be presented by our newly purchased protocol droid, ODS-1. See, I didn't get that till I read it out. He's no substitute for Ed, but we'll purchase an evil laugh module if we get enough emails or any emails at all about anything. Please send us some emails. And Simon, you've got that porn-heavy breathing going on again.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Right. Excellent. I'm thinking about Treak.
Yeah. And pubic pillows from last episode.
Fuzzy. Okay.
So, yeah, please send us some emails. We love emails, and I'll give the shout-out at the end, but contact at oceanicgamer.com is best. But before we jump into My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon, let's catch up on some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
Nothing enormous has happened since the last show 2 weeks ago, but probably the notable things is the CZ-198 Flashpoint had lag problems, and a couple of space missions had a mandatory asteroid insertion into your spaceship. Simon, did you experience that yourself?
No, they were both the first ones, basically, the very low-level ones. So I'm well past being bothered with those.
Yeah, whereas I haven't even done it. I mean, I've done the Flashpoint, but not the space mission. Both of them were fixed anyway in 2.3.3a, which that went live this week, didn't it? Well, like last Tuesday gone. Testing on the Dread Wars has finished on the PTS, so October 1st is when 2.4 drops, and so hanging out for that like anyone. But beyond that, a few tidbits have been squeezed out of some drunk... Sorry, I'm not meant to laugh as I read this, but this is great. Squeezed out of some drunk Botham as backpackers, and I assume that's not Ian. So give me some lore, Simon.
What, on the Bothams?
Yeah. Because I know nothing. What's a Botham?
Oh, no. You can Google that. Anyone who's listening to this knows exactly who and what the Bothams and the Botham spies are. So,
and they weren't cricketers from England.
No, it's Botham, not Botham.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I do know now, anyway.
Okay, yes. Good. We're making progress.
I think a little radar with professionalism going up and down.
Where the hell's the escape pod on this podcast? Yeah. I want out.
But see, I'm on holiday, so I'm in a jovial mood. But before we go into the tidbits, a quick shout out to Tio and the other guys that Simon's about to name so I don't stuff it up.
Hip, Chill, Red, Onnie, and everyone who was involved in the Utini Cast's 100th episode.
Oh, that's pretty bloody cool. 100's impressive for any podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It was a good show. The chat room was, seems to be getting more nuts every week. But, it was a good show. And congrats, guys. And here's to another 100.
Particularly given the time they put into, preparing for it and their level of knowledge. I mean, you know, the crap I pull out of my bottom every week. I've 65 episodes seems an impressive feat. 100's amazing. So well done, guys. So first up, we might as well, on the tidbits, we might as well get the new Pursuers bounty pack out of the way. So again, I'll probably throw to you, Simon, because you know more. I've checked out obviously Dolphy's breakdown of it, and I actually quite liked some of the gear as far as purely from an aesthetic viewpoint. So not from any substance, which may surprise people. I particularly like Cassis Fett's armor set.
I like the dress.
Oh, actually, yeah, and the cybernetic stuff's nice too. Anyway, Simon, jump in. What's your take on it?
Well, I hard to say with any certainty whether this is better or worse than any of the others. I think there's a few good things that most people are probably going to want. I'm not sure who would want the Trophy Hunter mask, because that's some scary shit right there.
that's kind of what nightmares are made of.
Yeah, nightmares and wet beds. It's kind of cool in that I know if you've got a hood, you can actually put the hood over top of that, so it's not one of those helms that force hides the hood. So that's good. Quite honestly, a hood would actually just make it look worse. But, you know, each to their own. I'm sure I'm going to see someone running around with that.
It looks very, I know I always make WoW comparisons, it looks very orcish.
Yeah, it does a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but I have a suspicion that the nostrils are at the top. Those aren't eyes. But I don't know. I don't know what the hell that thing is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just glad I never met it when it was alive. The Cassis Fett armor set is pretty damn cool. There's the, you can, until the patch, because obviously the Pursuers patch has been, Pursuers pack has dropped already. And until October 1st, you've got the ability because of a bug to complete the set without the belt. So, you know, if you want to get in under the radar on that, you can get the set bonus and get that achievement without having to worry about having the belt. So it's one step less, assuming you get the relevant gear in the scratchies.
Yeah, I like the assault cannon. Yum.
The Series 512 cybernetic armor, that's pretty good as well. Yeah. That's basically is a complete body suit. It doesn't fit over your body type. That replaces your body type. So if you want to walk around looking like a freaky robot, dream answered.
I reckon.
I'm a bit disturbed by the elegant dress. Not so much for the female character, even though I don't know what the hell that is sticking out the back of the head. Sort of makes sense on a female character with long hair because it looks like it could be some sort of hair ornament. Stuck to the back of a bald dude's head, it just looks freaking stupid. And I'm not too big on dudes in dresses anyway. So, yeah, little disturbed by that. The assault cannon, I mean, what the fuck? What is that? What is going on with that?
Yeah, I just said I liked it, but the more I look at it, yeah, it's a bit over the top. Just back to the elegant dress, without giving too much away, ignoring the dress issue, the actual character the dress is on looks just a little bit like you. You could only
The male one. Well, apart from... What?
Aside from the skin colour and everything else being different, it's just a tall dude with
a dress.
A modest amount of hair.
Yeah, well, apart from any similarity at all, it looks exactly like.
I know we're all mysterious on how we look, but I just thought we'd give away some of the mystery or mislead.
Yeah. The mounts, I like the raptor. I wish every Varactyl in the Star Wars universe would die. I hate those things, especially the noise they make.
Which ones?
The Varactyl.
Oh, yeah.
The repulsive lizard thing that Kenobi rides in, whichever one of those. I can't even think of adjectives.
We're going to talk about that later because I watched one.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just the other night.
How do you pronounce this? Ikeus Falchion?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Falcon. I quite like that. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that looks better than that. I mean, whereas the Gurion blaster bot looks like shit.
Well, that's just a recycle of the same goddamn thing you see.
Yeah.
They've done about three or four different versions. Some have got opaque sort of TIE fightery wing things on the side. Some of them have got green glowing ones. Some of them have got blue. And this one happens to have red. So well done, BioWare. Nice piece of original work there.
And then there's the Rock Sprinter.
Yeah. Less said about that, the better.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I still really don't like the characters sit.
Yeah,
on
these
mounts. It's disturbed me from day one, and it still disturbs me now.
The one on the Rock Volta looks like Fonzie on his bike in Happy Days.
Yeah. I'm also a bit disturbed by that because I'm reckoning one of those things that generate a fair bit of heat, and unless you want your balls charbroiled, I'm not sure that sitting on one of those is really a good idea anyway.
No, that's true.
Pets.
I totally want the D52D.
Yeah, I like the Astromech. So
yeah, I think you take one look into that lifeless plastic eye and you think, yeah, you're kind of cute. So, yeah, I must admit, I wouldn't mind him. I'll buy a couple of scratches.
And the battle cruiser. Yeah, I like the battle cruiser.
I don't want a ship following me around. I want to be in that ship, not have it follow me around like
a
kite.
It's dumb. From an immersion viewpoint, it's dumb. But
I wonder how big it is.
Because,
I mean, if that left one, is that a character on the left there? Like, is it huge?
No, it's not that
big. I mean, obviously not full size, not to scale, but...
But BioWare long stopped whining about clipping issues with things. So, it could be the size of a boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does look pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I do. I like it.
And it's nice to see another couple of emotes, chair emotes being brought in. I do like my sitting emote, but I would also like these two sitting emotes even more. And, yeah, then you've got the Colto. We're using Delphi. We'll put that information, if you haven't already seen it, we'll put the link on there and you can have a look at all of these yourselves. But, there's some definite winners here. And there's a few WTFs, but on the whole, I'd say that we've got some more decent vanity items coming our way.
Yeah, and I mean, I always see it as positive. I know they make money out of it, but they're actively developing stuff, and that's always good.
Yeah.
So on top of everything else they got in the pipeline. So so moving on from that, 19th of September, so only a bit over a week ago, the second Galactic Guild battle event was live streamed on MMORPG.com's Twitch channel. So Eric Musco, Rob Hinkle and Bruce McLean teamed up with a guild by the name of We Are Farmers. I like that. That's a good guild name.
Yeah.
In the new 4v4 ranked Warzone arenas. So they revealed that web-based leaderboards will be available at the start of Season 1, which is good.
Nice.
The time frame was a little vague, with them only saying it'll be a little while after game update 2.4 hits. So we'll link to that info as well. Amber posted that. That's Amber. I've forgotten Amber's last name.
Amber Green.
Green. I was going to say Jamison. Anyway, Amber Green posted that there's an issue with Treek's affection conversation. So that might be why you're a bit scared of her, Simon. The issue affects characters created before game update 2.3, which has got to be, the majority of them. But a fix is on the way. So what's the issue with the affection conversations? Oh, you're not getting the
affection. They're not playing properly. And in all honesty, the reason I'm a little afraid of her, apart from the fact that she's awesome, is that I tried to find out from Amber who the voice talent was, but didn't hear back. Not surprisingly, because I'm not as important as some podcasters are. But I really suspect, after listening to her for a while now, that it's a lady by the name of Cree Summer, who is probably not a name that pops into mind immediately, but you would have heard her, especially if you've watched any cartoons with the kids. Because did you ever watch an animated show which was not for kids called Drawn Together?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember a character called Foxy Love?
Oh, she was awesome.
Yeah, that's Cree Summer doing some of her best work right there. So it may not be, but it sounds an awful lot like her sometimes.
Okay, cool. Then Courtney on the community team reported that the combat team need more time to finishing answering the last lot of questions of COP, so they should be posted sometime in this coming week. So we'll probably talk about that more next episode. Lore armor can be dyed when 2.4 lands. So Musco has said, "I come to this thread with some interesting news. Today I learned of a fun new thing we're adding in game update 2.4, the ability to dye lore outfits. Very handy." Oh, yeah. So that's good.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't have thought it was a terribly popular thing, but apparently there's been quite a bit of demand for this. But my opinion is, if you want to wear lore stuff, you wear lore stuff. You don't start sticking dandelions and rainbow unicorn decals on it. If you want to look like Revan, then look like Revan. Don't look like a purple and green version of Revan.
Yeah, great.
But I'm all for BioWare providing things that the community need and the community want, but there's going to be a line somewhere where you just stop, please don't.
Yeah,
but they are, so there we go.
And related to playing the game but not directly, is the iPhone authenticator issue since Apple released the iOS 7 upgrade. So I know Gail is our most loyal listener, although apparently she hasn't listened for a couple of episodes, so that sucks. So assuming she does catch up, Gail hates Apple more than anything in the world, so she'll tune out for this bit. There's been all sorts of authenticator issues with the iOS 7 upgrade. So the general suggestion from BioWare is that if you're having trouble with the app, the authenticator app, once you launch it, you basically deauthorize it from your account before you upgrade to iOS 7, which is 99.9% of people won't think to do, including me. And then reinstall it after the upgrade is complete.
Considering that bricking has been an issue with the iOS 7, we lost 5 phones on Friday alone at my work. It might be a good idea to back everything up and remove anything like that. Authenticators.
Yeah, and it does back up before you do the upgrade, unless you're truly silly. I think when you connect it to iTunes, it actually backs up before it downloads and updates. I could be wrong on that, though. But yeah, it's an issue. And I personally went through this as far as it didn't totally not work for me. But when I fired it up on Thursday or Friday to have a bit of a play, and it showed that I needed to re-enter my serial number and activation code, which I wasn't too happy with. So after a lot of stuffing around at about midnight, I ended up ringing via Skype BioWare in Ireland and had a kind gentleman there spend 10 minutes getting me sorted, and I got a working app. So, and even he mentioned that they'd copped a lot of iOS 7 queries through their tech support. So a bit of a stuff up there. Well, I mean, it's not totally BioWare's issue, but I mean, geez, iOS 7's been in beta for months and they did have the opportunity to test it.
Well, it's not that it won't work with iOS 7. It's the way iOS 7 does the update. It's because any authenticator on your phone is going to do this. The Battle.net one has had exactly the same problems. And in all honesty, I'm going to pour a little bit of hate Apple's way, because it's not even a voluntary. It was a voluntary upgrade. It's now a mandatory upgrade.
Yeah, because they've patched it again since.
Oh, I haven't updated yet.
Well, it doesn't matter whether you want to or not, because Apple are making you. Or you end up with a file, you end up losing about 3 gig of space on your device, because it's a push download or push download. Because I turned on the iPad that I'm going to be very happy to give to my niece or nephew over Christmas, for Christmas, I should say, because I don't want any more of their damn crap in here. But it started downloading their iOS 7.0.2 update, and I could not stop it.
Without being connected to any computer?
Yeah. It's downloading over the air. Anyone out there with an Apple device that can be upgraded to iOS 7, sorry, folks, you can't keep iOS 6. Well, you can either keep iOS 6 and lose 3 gig of storage on your phone, or you can upgrade and get that space back. That is the way Apple roll. They know better than the rest of us. I'm glad I've left them behind. But just be forewarned, it's going to be there until you actually install it now.
Gail already loves you, but she'll love you more. But just on that, that depends on how you've set up your preferences, because, I mean, I've updated 2 iPads and 2 iPhones and none of them auto-downloaded. I had to manually get them to go. So it depends on how your preferences are set up, and it also could be a Windows thing, because I've never heard of that happening. I'm sure it does.
When did you last do it?
Well, I've even done the 7.01 or 02, whatever it update is, on Friday night because of the security issue with the iPhone 5Ss or Cs or whatever they are. There's already a bloody... And I'll agree with you on the hate towards Apple. I love downloading 1.5 gigabytes for the iOS 7 update. They fixed 2 small bugs with it, and it's another 1.5 gigabytes.
Yeah. Sorry, Christy, what were you saying?
Yeah, I just checked. I haven't updated mine, but it says that it has downloaded iOS 7.
Yeah.
Not sure when it did, but I'm thinking it did over the Wi-Fi, because my telco hasn't gone, what the fuck? Because that would be totally over my plan.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it is a mandatory download. Whether you want it or not, you will get it.
Yeah, okay.
And there's been some noise on the internet about that. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Apple. we can talk about SteamOS a bit later. But
yeah, okay.
If we have time.
No, but yeah, look, they deserve condemnation for a bunch of things. And yeah, I still don't think BioWare are totally blameless on the authenticators. I think I understand that it's not the first priority for them. But
well, actually, because I looked into it, because I don't use phone authenticators. I use the old tokens. And I looked into buying a Star Wars token, and their link on their website goes to a 404. So I kind of feel like they need to... to give us something, you know.
Yeah. I think they ran out of those. I don't know how long ago, and they seem to have a difficulty keeping the supply up, assuming they're even trying.
Yeah, by signs of it, they're not. I was just looking into it because I know WoW ones. I mean, I've got a Blizzard one myself, but it's only like $5 for the token, but then they charge you full postage, so you pay like $25 for postage alone. It's a lot of money to throw out just for a token.
Agreed. Now, we're thanks to me, mostly we're running a bit over, so I'm going to jump a couple of things. But there's a bit of a petition going around at the moment imploring for an improvement in the overall state of the game. And I'm not going to lie and pretend that I've read this. I'm just reading it on the fly now. Simon, have you had a read through?
Yeah, it actually hits quite a few.
It does, doesn't
it? A few. It hits a few points, and I think some reasonably smart ones. The first one off the rank is the ranked war zones.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, there's a few things in this petition that are hitting a lot of the same notes that Gaelic Teague, the gentleman behind the Unnamed SWTOR podcast, has also mentioned. So I think it's great that rather than having something on the SWTOR subreddit, this is actually in the forums. Mm. So I think probably the best thing we can do is post the link and suggest that anyone listening to this, assuming there is anyone listening to this, has a read, and seriously think about signing it, because I think the more input we can provide BioWare with, the better, because clearly they've got certain financial things they want to targets they want to hit, but I think if we can provide them with thoughts, constructive criticism, and suggestions on what they can look at doing, it's going to help. And I think a little bit of help is probably a good idea. I think that all things considered, we're still on an upward swing. Where things are consistently getting better and better for the most part. But you know, a lot of the things that we see coming down the line are things that have been planned. Even the voiceover stuff was recorded at the beginning when all of this was done. It's not stuff that's been done subsequently.
No.
So I don't know how far ahead they'd actually planned a lot of things when the game was originally in development, and they obviously would have had a schedule or a roadmap of where the stories were going to go, what sort of things they were looking at introducing in the future after the game released. I don't know how much they had of that in reserve, but they're probably, we're almost getting to the 2-year point now. Mm. They're probably getting to fairly well along that roadmap. And I think if we can help them, help nudge them in a few areas so that what we've got can continue to be improved, as well as perhaps suggesting a few things that they could consider introducing down the road.
Yeah, and the petitioners have sort of broken up nicely. As you said, you mentioned the war zones. They're after improvements in subscriber benefits, which no subscriber like me is going to disagree with.
Mm.
The public test server, level of interaction from the crew, ability to lay and allow lag issues, don't start me. Forum interaction. Yeah, so a range of really good stuff there. So, yeah, as you said, we'll post the link. And yeah, I'll certainly be jumping in to sign it for what it's worth. So good week, and it's all been put together very it's good quality. It's not full of typos and spelling mistakes, and that's important.
it really is. If you want people to take you seriously, then not writing, you know, just spell check. Everyone should spell check before they send an email anyway and just read the damn thing back. But yeah, this is, it's very coherent. It's very well structured. So yeah, I'll be putting my name to it, definitely.
And I mean, the cynical part of me goes, I don't know how much impact it'll have, because there was another great thread. I remember writing a post about it, and I think mentioning it on the podcast as well. I think the forum talk was something called like Death by a Thousand Cuts, and it was this brilliant summary of all the tiny little annoying things, probably like your sit emote would have definitely been in there. And I don't know how much of that end actually was taken on board.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure either. Since you bring up the sit emote, I couldn't understand why they couldn't do seats everywhere and you couldn't sit down. You can do that in an 8-year-old game without any big deal. Don't get me started. The fact that you type /sleep and apparently everyone in SWTOR sleeps standing up because it does nothing.
Yeah,
No. And you still got if you sit on the ground and you stand up, you still got the Thunderbirds marionette way of getting up. That still hasn't been fixed. No. But credit where credit's due. Now that it's actually been explained, granted not through direct channels, but it has been explained why the sitting can't be done, and they provided us with an option with the sitting emote. All I needed to do was explain what the problem was, and yeah. I would have stopped bitching about it. Because now I know, okay, well, it's a technical problem. That's fine. I understand that. That's a problem with the engine and a bunch of other shit. Cool.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit more direct communication would be good, because it might take some of the fire out of some people's rants.
That's right. And which is something we've been saying for the last 2 years or 3 years, because we started this podcast before it went live. So, yeah, agreed. Look, I'm a bit slow. When you kept saying unnamed SWTOR podcast, I'm thinking, why can't we name it? And then I just realized that that's what it's called, unnamed SWTOR podcast. So I must check that out. And another new addition, the Escape Pod podcast. So you've, as Christy, I feel like I'm neglecting you tonight, but I know that you've been not played a lot of Star Wars the last fortnight. Am I right?
Oh, actually, the last 3 days I've been hitting it pretty heavy.
Prove me wrong. So, but I'm assuming you haven't come across the Escape Pod podcast.
No, unfortunately, with my work and school and all that sort of stuff, I don't really listen to podcasts much anymore, sadly.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on Welcome to Night Vale. Simon, you've obviously listened to it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good little show. And they've got a little droid in there, so it doesn't really contribute a lot as far as content goes, but it definitely provides some ambience.
Cool. And speaking of droids, that's a perfect segue to our new lore segment to wrap up the Star Wars section. So if no one likes this segment, which I highly doubt, let us know so we can return the droid within 30 days and get our refund in cartel coins. Probably won't be enough cartel coins, though, like the rest of the game. So we're going to jump into the segment whose name I can't remember. It's about lore and cannons. I'm just quickly scrolling back up, and I will cut this out.
My lore is stuck in your cannon.
My lore is stuck in your cannon. I may not cut it out after all. So here we go. Enjoy.
Oh, thank you, Master David. It is so wonderful to be here and to speak to so many germ-encrusted organics. A droid does love to be useful. I am ODS-1, protocol droid and explainer of things because humans are too lazy to read. Today's topic is the Dreadmasters, six powerful Sith Lords with mastery over ancient forces and technologies. It is believed the Dreadmasters were originally human, four males and two females. However, they have transcended the lifespan of normal humans, and their ages and world of origin is unknown. For centuries, the Dreadmasters served the Sith Emperor as generals, seers, and advisors. Their power and fearsome reputation is primarily due to their study and mastery of the Phobos device, ancient technology that has driven lesser Sith mad. The Dreadmasters harnessed its power, and using a form of battle meditation, allowed them to devastate entire fleets of the Galactic Republic during the Great Galactic War. Instead of enhancing solidarity as a Jedi battle meditation would, it spreads a fear so intense it drives enemies insane with terror. Sounds lovely. Their power was ended when Jedi Knight Jarry Kaden and an elite Republic Special Forces team infiltrated their dreadnought, captured the Dreadmasters, and destroyed their ship. The Jedi Council publicly announced the Dreadmasters were dead. In reality, they were taken in secret to the prison world of Bel Savis. The Jedi believed they were simply too valuable to kill. In hindsight, probably not the best choice. Many centuries later, an Imperial rescue team freed the Dreadmasters. However, the Empire gained no advantage from this, and the Dreadmasters quickly betrayed the Empire, preferring to conquer the galaxy for themselves. Again, not really surprising. While they built their forces, they made discreet inroads into the Hutt Cartel, and it is thought their influence led to the Cartel's supreme mogul, Karag the Unyielding, to make his failed expansionist attempts. Sadly, those dreams of expansion did not die with Karaga and precipitated the unpleasantness on Makeb. Less subtly, they recruited Kephis, a Trandoshan warlord, who was tasked with conquering Denever, a major supplier of munitions. But he and his mercenary army were defeated by Imperial and Republic task forces, but not before the Dreadmasters seized an unknown quantity of weapons and military craft that the Republic had just left scattered about the place. Meanwhile, members of the Dread Host attempted to recover more ancient technology from Section X on the planet Belsabis, a Rakata weapon known as the Aurora Cannon. Once more, the Dreadmasters were thwarted and the cannon destroyed. Next, they sought to open an ancient Greek hypergate on a station and unleash the terror from beyond on the galaxy. Again, they were defeated. Despite their power and their knowledge, their plans for domination were still dreams, so they sent Sith Lord Tagris to seize two prescribed artifacts from the Arcanum, the Dark Staff and the Seeds of Rage. However, he was defeated by Imperial and Republic strike teams on Ilum, who recovered the artifacts. After these many, many, many failures, Dreadmaster Styrak broke from the group and enlisted a variety of mercenary and Hutt cartel groups onto Varnis to create a force of Dreadguards strong enough to stand against both the Sith Empire and the Galactic Republic. Projecting his will on their minds, Styrak created an unswervingly loyal force who were also paranoid and insane. Again, the Republic and Empire sent in strike forces, and again they were victorious. The Dreadguards were defeated, and Dreadmaster Styrak killed. The remaining five Dreadmasters appeared only after the battle as projections of will to absorb the power from their fallen comrade's body. Although less now with the defeat of Styrak, the remaining Dreadmasters still have vast and fanatical armies at their disposal, not to mention the stolen and recovered ancient technologies they have amassed since their escape from Belsabis. With the destruction of the Republic fleet sent to Orokon and the loss of contact with the Imperial scouting party, no one should doubt the powerful forces that await any who trespass on that cursed moon. Now, if you'd like to learn more about the Dreadmasters, try Googling it, and you can read it yourself with your squishy, squishy eyeballs. Thank you. Master David.
Thank you, Robot. That was excellent. Probably. Actually, it was. But we do want your feedback, so let us know. So next up, let's jump into some other games. So we sort of last few episodes had a bit of a standing game update from you, Christy, on Final Fantasy and 14. But before you start, I haven't really laid eyes on it beyond your great stuff you've done on YouTube. And I just happened to check out, I think it was Good Game and not Spawn Point, and they did their review and gave it the big thumbs up, and it was probably the most in-depth look I've had at it besides your videos, and I do like the look of it, but beyond that, I know nothing. Oh, actually, I hated the gameplay mechanic of the dude that holds the book. This is, I assume it's, what class is that?
Dude who holds the book.
Well, anyway, it showed him casting, holding the book out in front of him and using his other hand to cast bolts or whatever at the boss.
Oh, yeah, that would be the Arcanus slash summoner. Yeah. It's really funny. When you summon your pets, you get the book out and you, like, write in it. So sometimes if it gets stuck, you just sit there writing in your book. It's like, dear diary.
Well, okay. Yeah, because in these fights and that, they would just constantly look like mashing the buttons, and this book was just being held out the whole time. It just looked really dumb to me, but I'm just probably being
too. Yeah, some are good, some are bad. I was playing a white mage, so I just have a stick.
Yeah, it's more like it.
And when I heal, I just get this green stuff come up. And yeah, that's about it. But I've stopped playing it now. So no more YouTube, no more live stream, I'm afraid.
No more standing game update.
No. But so what happened was the first one was, I think I mentioned the last podcast about the subscription being charged in euros.
Oh yeah.
I finally got my heard back from support like 2 weeks later saying that because you're Australian, you A, buy the game in Australia, and B, have an Australian credit card. The merchant they use, I don't know who it is, but the merchant they use says, yeah, you're Euro. So there's nothing you can do about it besides buying the copy, probably using a proxy from America and using an American credit card. So you're looking at $20 a month for it, more like $100 with discount for 6 months, which is just, that's a little too much for me. But the other thing was as well that as much as it's really awesome that you can just pick any weapon or tool you want and you become that class, and it's so hugely and wonderfully flexible, and I loved it. I loved that I could be whatever I wanted. The problem is that essentially main way you're going to level up is through what we call fates, which is like Guild Wars 2 public quests or Warhammer public quests or rifts. So just think leveling characters by doing rifts as a massive zerg where you just fly in, slaughter everything inside and move on to the next one.
Okay.
No communication, no skill involved, just mass zerg running around. And that didn't appeal to me. You can probably level up once via quests. I was enjoying doing dungeons. I loved the dungeons, which is probably why there's so many YouTubes and live streams of me doing dungeons. But the dungeons themselves, for the skill involved and the workload and if you're pugging it, the frustration, you're just not getting any amount of reward. You know, you get three times as much or more doing this mass zerg than you do doing this four-man, you know, strategizing dungeons. Okay. So I thought that was really disappointing. If I could level via dungeons and I thought that the dungeon rewards matched the amount of effort put in, I would probably still be playing it, that's for sure.
Okay.
So then I moved on to WoW, which was my safety blanket. WoW's always a game I came back to. Jeez. After 3 days, and I finally got a level 90, my little panda hunter.
Nice.
My account got banned. Yep.
Oh, gold selling again?
Yeah, must have been. Jeez, I thought I got that bot working.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really kind of scary thought when you open up the launch and you log in and like, nah, you can't log into this account, it's been banned. And you're just sort of going like, what the hell? So yeah, I honestly have no idea how it happened. I was as casual can be. I logged in maybe an hour or so each night, did some quests, logged out again, didn't talk to anyone outside my guild, didn't send mail to anyone besides sending heirloom items, which is your account bound mm-hmm. items between alts, and I got banned. So
no reason given.
Nope. 2 days later, they unbanned me. They said I was false flagged. But yeah, that broke my confidence. So because obviously it's like, well, what's stopping me from flagging again and getting my account banned again? You know, I don't know what happened. They're not going to tell me what happened. They're not going to tell me how I got false flagged. So I think that's it for me and WoW. I think I'm going to turn my back on that. And so now I'm back with Star Wars. That's my new safety blanket.
What about the Secret World?
Well, yeah, the Secret World. Secret World's a game you play because you want to play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like there's a reason I play WoW. It's because I want to watch stuff or cook dinner, and I want to be able to play for half an hour and log out, you know, without feeling that need to keep playing. While with Star Wars, Secret World is so absorbed that I would be there and I'd end up playing all night, and I'd be like, oh, my assignment. Oh, I haven't eaten. Oh, but I got to sleep because I got to work in the morning. Ah.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same with that. If I'm going to go casual, it's WoW, SWOTOR, not Secret World.
Yeah. So I've got a kitty. I made a female kitty, but I was very disappointed with the female kitty. So I'm actually trying a male kitty now. And he's awesome. He's so buff. He's like 50% wharf, 50% beast, you know, for Marvel. So, yeah, he looks so cool.
My kitty also looks cool.
My kitty's called Cat Dude because I couldn't think of anything.
You're another role player like me.
I have never named a male character before and I didn't know what to do. So now my guild thinks that my high voice isn't because I'm female, it's because I'm a kid.
I like it.
Yeah.
Actually, Cat Dude makes Twonkalonk seem like a role-playing name in comparison, but so that's good.
I just like looking on, like I look onto the team speaker, it's like Cat Dude.
Oh, mine's even less RPG, although it's not supposed to be funny. It's just going by a handle which I've been using a lot more lately, which is the first three letters of my Twitter handle, but spelt out as a word. You know, like C3PO is 3PO is THREE.
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah.
I think I know exactly what you mean. I've seen it in another one of your social media presences.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, so that's what that is. That makes sense now.
Yes. Yes. RPG is a word.
It's a bit like Odious One. Like, it took me until you read it out, you don't realise.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of Secret World, just briefly, there's not a lot to talk about there, but the Whispering Tide is the latest event they've got going on. So it's all centered around Agartha. And there are the filth are pouring in there. So there's rewards. The more you're in there battling them and taking on the big dudes together, the more rewards you get. And that's about all I know because I haven't logged in. I just got the press release. So, but they're still keeping up with the events. I haven't seen a lot of discussion of the next big updates and what they've gotten. I just get a real vibe of a little bit of a loss of momentum, but not in a totally negative way. Just there's not that frequency there was first half of the year of, oh, we've got this coming, we've got that coming. It's just a little bit more laid back. But that's fine, given I haven't played. So now we're going to go to what we like to call, and it's a new thing, the Jawa junk pile. So little bits and pieces. And again, I'm going to skip for time's sake, and we're going to save a lot of these up for next episode. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the first episode's hit. Now, I'm going to start and then throw to you guys. I haven't actually watched this, but I've read a really interesting review from someone I know in New Zealand that has slagged the living crap out of it as being cliched, very underwhelming, on what could have been a really promising series. And she was very hopeful that it might get better, but some other people aren't so convinced. So who has watched it?
I have.
You have? Thank God, Simon. So what did you think of it?
Well, I was looking forward to it, but was it Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters and the first Tim Burton Batman taught me a very, very important lesson. Don't get your hopes up.
That's very true.
Yeah. Expectations. Invariably, if something doesn't live up to your expectations, the fault lies with you, not with the thing that you're disappointed in. Unless, of course, it's a prime minister from Queensland. But anyway, I enjoyed it. Yes, it did seem a little bit cliched in places, but that was okay. It's a first episode, and you've got to sort of work a bit of origin story in there, and there are enough little bits and pieces dropped here and there to hint at broader and more extensive story arcs, apart from the reset sort of format you get with most TV shows, where by the end of it, everything's wrapped up and moving on. Speaking of which, the end of it was kind of cool, just the last little bit. But you'll have to watch it to find out what I'm talking about there. Joss Whedon's writing was definitely to the fore, mostly in the dialogue. There was a few bits and pieces there where you're going, yeah, that's pure Joss right there. So if you like that... the way he handles dialogue, the way he handles characters, I think you'll see a lot that you'll enjoy. Don't expect to get blown away. I think that's a bit premature. But, yeah, no, I would recommend you watch this. So I think you'll like it.
And I will watch it, and I probably will like it. The criticism that Kimberly, and I'll try and remember to post a link to it. She's written a really good review, and she's an absolute rabid Marvel Cinematic Universe fan.
Mm-hmm.
What she hated about it was all the in-jokes that only someone that understands a lot of the history of either the Marvel Cinematic Universe or just the Marvel Universe more broadly will understand. So that it's very much limited to a lot of the value of the show to people that are really rabid fans, which is not what you want with a network TV show that's trying to, you know, garner a lot more attention.
There's nothing wrong with having a show that operates on several levels. And considering that The Avengers was a massive box office success, and in which I think a good chunk of people in the parts of the world that would actually be watching this TV show have already seen it. So, yeah, I think she maybe should just get over herself a bit.
See, I suppose I'm a little bit on a side because I know you've said I need to give it more than a couple of episodes, but I hated Fire. I was going to say Fox, and I know that's wrong. What's the Joss Whedon TV series?
You don't like a web? You're against the web browser?
Oh my goodness!
No, what's the
Firefly?
TV?
Firefly.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not Fox and it's not Fall because that's a game.
Firefly. You hated Firefly?
Yeah, left me cold. But I've only watched two episodes, so I've been told I need to give it more.
Oh,
yeah. See, I
brown coats. Kill him.
Firefly was like Arrested Development for me. I watched the movie first, and I didn't get the movie Serenity. I was like, this is so, and I love Joss Whedon, but I was like, this is crap. And then I watched one episode of Firefly, but it was like this random one, and you saw bits of it, and I thought, this is weird. But yeah, it's one of those, if you just watch it from beginning to end, not that with Firefly you really need to do it like Arrested Development, but just, yeah, start with the first one and move along.
Yeah.
And you'll love it, I swear.
I mean, I love Arrested Development, but anyway. All right, cool. So, yeah, I did, and what locally, what's it? It's showing on one of the free-to-air channels, isn't it?
Probably, yes.
Yeah, it's either Channel 10
channel,
or...
I think it might be 7.
7, okay. Yeah.
But check your local TV guide that's for more right. information.
Or let the rest of us just go to the internet.
Yeah.
Now, let's... talk Steam OS. So there were three announcements last week, a few days apart, and the first one was about Steam OS, then Steam Machines and Steam Controller. Even I've read a little bit up on this, and it's a bit exciting, really. Although I'm not a huge Steam fan. I find the Steam interface frustrating to deal with, but I'm sure that this will be lots better. Christy, your thoughts?
No! Only because if I have Steam on my phone, I will end up buying everything. And since I've got a MacBook in by my bed, yeah. So I already spend too much money on Steam. So please stop giving me Steam everywhere, people. Please stop. Okay? Stop. But other than that, I think it's awesome. And yeah, if we can get Steam on more OSs so we can be playing games in more places, then so be it.
I'm always keen for OS competition. It's always good. Simon, what's your take? You excited?
Yeah, I am. Well, excited is probably the wrong word. Mildly eager, one would say. I am kind of keen to see this for a few reasons. One, I would very much like to see some Windows get some competition.
Yeah.
Because that pig dog of an operating system is still a resource hog. It's always been a resource hog. And then you've got DirectX 11 or 10 or whatever you happen to be using, chewing through things as well. It would be really cool to get something like a Steam OS on like a box. You could, you know, a small box, which you can stick in your entertainment center without worrying about it melting like you have to quite frequently with the console.
I'm kind of hoping with my, because Boxy is pretty flexible, maybe I can squeeze Steam onto that one. No, then I'll have Steam on my TV. This would be awful. No, stop it.
Well, it's really good on a TV because if you've ever used Big Picture, I mean, it's not so great for monitors. Even if it's a fairly large one, but on a 46-inch TV, it's excellent. I've got a little crappy machine that's got like I think it's an Atom processor and an NVIDIA Ion graphics chipset in there. You know, it's the sort of thing that you wouldn't use for much, but it's got Windows 8 on there, and I've installed Steam. Just the Steam client, and had it running in Big Picture, and been using it with an Xbox controller, and I've been pleasantly surprised at how well it's running. So as soon as Steam OS comes out, even though they're going to be looking at dedicated machines for it, not produced by Valve, but produced by third-party companies, but I'm definitely going to be very interested. That's why I've got my name down for one of the 300 machines they're going to be scattering around the place. I mean, the fact that I'm in Australia, and the fact that last time I looked, well, actually, I think 2 days after the announcement was made, there were already 100,000 other candidates. I mean, already your odds are looking pretty, pretty crap. But it's just nice to participate sometimes. So there we go.
Yeah, I think it's a potential, disruptive technology.
It could be a game changer.
Yeah.
Particularly for some of the other people tilting at the Sony and Microsoft windmills. Mm. I'm particularly thinking of Ouya, which, considering it's using a Tegra 3, or is it a Tegra 2? Whatever it is, it's using some pretty underwhelming hardware, which is why it's so cheap partially. But Ouya is just basically looking like ooh now. It's probably going to kill it.
Mm. Well, yeah, which Steam just has the critical mass.
Well, it's got the platform. It's it supports where it can. It supports all of the operating systems, including Linux. I mean, which is why SteamOS is basically going to be a Linux box, whatever box you happen to be running it on. But it's going to be a free operating system. So yeah, as you say, Christy, you could dual boot your PC.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was looking at getting a PS4, but if Steam says that they can give me something, I might. Yeah. It's considering that I have 50 billion Steam games that I still haven't played.
Well, and that's the thing. It's going to be good for your Steam stuff, but Blizzard aren't going to come to the party. So any Blizzard games, and obviously EA's not going to either because they've got Origin. They're not going to kill their own service just to come to this particular tea party either. So you'll still need other platforms unless something unbelievable happens. But still, it will be worth it because there's some great games on Steam, and Linux doesn't have the OS overheads.
No.
Or the proprietary nature of certain other operating systems.
Yeah, I doubt anyone's wanting them to fail. Well, I'm sure there are people, but yeah, I certainly like to see them take it up to the big guys.
Yeah. So watch this space. Any good news or any news at all we get on this, we'll let you know, because just because you play Star Wars The Old Republic and you're a PC gamer doesn't mean that this isn't something that can work for you, especially since you can stream games to this thing from your PC as well.
Okay.
So it's a way of getting your PC games on your big screen.
Interesting, because I run everything through Steam. So, I mean, even my non-Steam games I run through Steam. So might be a way of bypassing the EA/Blizzard barriers things. Yeah.
Indeed.
That's got to sound so great every time you mute. It sounds like you're on a CB radio. It's good.
Over.
Over, yes. 10-4, big buddy. All right. So, yeah, we'll watch that closely. We're going to save the LucasArts stuff, or unless you feel strongly about it, Simon, till next one. Can that wait till next episode?
What, the fall of the Jason Schreier? I'd suggest anyone who's interested in LucasArts reads it, and we can always discuss it afterwards.
Yeah.
In another show. But right. I think we should probably just pop the link up in the show notes anyway, because I urge anyone who cares even slightly to read it, because it's a real eye opener.
It's not very often you see a sense how EA buying them may have been the best option. So
yeah, I know that, on its own. That kind of blew me away as well, but that's the upshot of it.
Excellent. And related to that, and I'll be very brief, is I think I've only watched episodes 1, 2, and 3 of the Star Wars movies once. Oh, Phantom Menace I've seen 3 or 4 times, but I've never got past the first one. I watched Attack of the Clones for the second time ever 2 nights ago, and God, it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know the best way of watching those movies?
Backwards.
Drunk?
Drunk's good.
I can't remember.
I can't remember what his name is. It's on YouTube. There's a guy who's basically plays the movies, and it's just he's doing it in character of this sort of psychopathic shut-in who kidnaps women.
Yes, I love that. It's great. I've seen one of those.
That is the only way to watch those 3 enormous, freshly squeezed but slightly sloppy poos.
Yep. Well, on the running sheet, I put how Attack of the Clones is still a steaming pile of shit, but I'm really stating the obvious to everyone that's watched it. So, very disappointing.
Having said that, Darth Maul is still pretty awesome. I do like Darth Maul.
He's not in that one, though, unless I missed that.
No, he's not in Attack of the Clones. As far as there were some good things.
Oh, yeah. Yoda kicking ass was good. But what really struck me again on the second watch is just how ridiculously they shoveled in C-3PO and R2-D2 as far as... I don't understand the full lore. I know that may surprise some people, but were they always part of these pre-movies? Because it always seemed like in episode four that, you know, they only stumbled across each other then for the first time and were brought into the whole thing then. And suddenly, they've been around and on Tatooine before, you know, generation before. It just all stinks.
Well, no, I mean, there were references in the original movie that there was hinting at history. They obviously had an established relationship. They're owned by, was it Captain Antilles, I think, who was in piloting the consular ship that Leia was on.
Yeah,
and R2 was saying that he knew Ben Kenobi, but considering that R2 would never have known Obi-Wan as Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on, sorry. He said he was looking for Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Luke said, do you mean Ben Kenobi? Sorry. Yeah, old brain.
That's all right. and I won't even start on Jar Jar Binks in the Senate, but anyway. It's awful, and the love scene, but I'm going to leave it there. It doesn't deserve any more time.
I love you so much, I can't breathe. Oh, I wish that were true, Anakin. I wish you would have just stopped breathing right then and there. Yeah, it would have saved us all so much pain.
Yeah, it's awful. all right, we might on Oculus Rift are now taking pre-orders for the new latency tester, part of their dev kit. So I'll try and post a link to that as well. I just wish they'd release the damn thing.
They will eventually.
Yeah, but I want it now. So we're going to wrap it there. Anything else from you two before we do?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
All right. So, as always, we love to hear from you. So, as I mentioned at the start of the show, send us an email, ask us a question, criticise us, anything. It's all good.
Insult us.
Insult us, even.
We just crave contact.
Request a personal meeting with Gail, the ever mysterious loyal fan. Anything can be arranged.
That didn't sound creepy at all.
No. So you can contact us, as I mentioned earlier, at contact@oceanicgamer.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer, the same for Twitter. For some reason I thought it was twitter.com/OceanicGamer and tried it yesterday, and some other bastard has registered twitter.com/OceanicGamer and has not used the account. Zero tweets.
You sure it wasn't you and he just forgot?
No, because it had a particular pit. It wasn't me.
Okay.
But it's funny you say that, because I thought, I wonder if Simon's registered that, the bastard. But, yeah.
I have enough trouble keeping track of things I've registered that I can remember.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
I keep finding old domains. I'm like, what? Was I drunk when I ordered this? Come on.
I'm guilty of that as well.
Mm.
So we'd love to hear from you. And otherwise, that's the show. We'll be back. Oh, sorry, and other Twitter handles, most important. So Christy is at Evil Crispy Cream with a K and a K. And Simon tweets under RPG Beats RL. And you can find previous episodes of the show on iTunes. And coming soon will be available. Oh, will we be? On Stitcher, the NPR podcast directory, podfeed.net, Miro.
And Miro, yep. Yeah.
The Zune Marketplace.
It's still going. It's still, oh, for God's sake.
So that
some
was
people
serious.
Still know it as the Zune Marketplace, but it's Xbox Music, okay. And it still supports podcasts, which people do still
use. Know. So that's really, and thanks again, Simon, for doing the run issue. That's your subtle way of saying I need to promote the podcast better.
Well, I think I can help you with that.
Yeah, cool. And thanks very much for listening. And, yeah, thanks to you too. And, Simon, the running sheet rocks, and I don't expect you to pull this off every fortnight. I'll get off my ass and actually do something. Have a great week, everyone. And remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably one of us was in it. Actually, that's very pertinent.
Now you sound like you just read damn thing.
Yeah, well, I did. Oh, but it's gold. That's gold. see you all.
Bye.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.